Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. So we're going to have a presentation. Who's leading us off today?
I'll get started.
Get it started? Okay. You got it.
There, how's that, sir? Welcome, commissioners, to our third quarter finance report. The format that we're going to follow, you're pretty accustomed to at this point. We're going to go through and hit some highlights of our third quarter, and this gives us an opportunity, because it is the third quarter of the second year of the biennium, to do a little forecasting for you. We're going to talk about where we believe we'll end up at the end of the year. Also, talk about some things that we have coming up that we see in the near future. So we're going to start. I'm going to turn the time over to Tom Scullion from our finance department, and he will get us started.
So essentially it's the same agenda that we've had in the past, pretty much the same. We'll talk about some leading indicators, retail sales, tax, receipts, and go into some information about the general fund, other major funds, and other funds that might impact the general fund. And then probably mention at the end, if we have time, the state auditor's office has a new financial condition tool that they're working on that we found out about at a conference last month. So thought we would mention that a little bit and explain it. As far as the leading indicators, building permits, well, what we wanted to say is they're just kind of steady. There's some are up, some are down. Mostly it's just kind of maintaining. Building permits are up for the year ending in the third quarter of 2014. They're up slightly over the year ending the third quarter of, or in 2014 over 2013. But not by much. It's about a 3.1% increase. So that's on residential permits. The average value is up a bit from $312,000 about in the third quarter of 2013 to $356,000. So, and that goes a little bit to the affordability index that I think I mentioned in the last presentation, and I was in error when I said it was around 110. It's actually the latest data that I was able to find was at the end of 2013, and it's about 168. However, because of the average home price going up so much, first-time home buyers, it's only about 94. So, kind of make, sorry? 100, a score of 100, the index of 100, means that a household earning the median income in the county can buy a median sale priced house. So at 168, the affordability index is fairly high, but at 94, it's a little tough for first time home buyers. Commercial permits increase year over year from 309 through the third quarter of 2013 to 381 through the third quarter of 2014. However, the average valuation on commercial permits dropped considerably from about $382,000 last year to $282,000 this year. So smaller projects are going up. Retail sales continue to improve. We're about 9.3% over what we were for the year ending third quarter of 2013 as a countywide, up 9.3.
We'll talk about that in detail in a little bit. We have some slides that we typically show with. So you will get some more detail.
Yep. So construction as a percentage of retail sales is about the same as it was a year ago. It was 27.6% compared to 27.27%. It's down slightly from the second quarter, but that's kind of a seasonal expectation to go down. And we are, I have to say thanks to the folks in Application Services because they gave us a new way to come up with this metric. The state, we used to get it from the Department of Revenue, but and it was about a quarter behind. Now they're even farther behind, saying they have resource issues. So the nice folks in Application Services gave us a new report out of our sales tax monitoring tool. So, home sales are down a little bit year over year. They're about 6,200 for the year ending in the third quarter. They were 7,100 for the year ending in the third quarter of 2013. They're up a little bit from last quarter. Second quarter, there was only about 6,100. They're about 6,200, so just a marginal increase. The median home sale price has increased over year over year, $225,000 last year to $245,000 this year. It's about the same as it was in the second quarter. It was $244,000 in the second quarter. Now it's $245,500. Not much of a change there.
If I could jump in, one of the reasons why we really watch those home sales and the median home sales prices is because they can have an impact on our REIT collections. We receive our REIT based on the dollar amount and the number of homes that turn over. And so it's a real important indicator for us as we try and project that REIT revenue stream out into the future. When we see a downturn in home sales or a downturn in home sales price, we have to readjust our thinking on how we're going to collect that REIT. Right now, our REIT, we've forecasted, appears to be balanced. We're able to meet the obligations that we have committed to our REIT funds. We can't really afford to do anything new. We don't have any additional funds or excess funds in REIT right now, but we are able to meet our obligations. So that's when you hear home sales and medium home sales, the reason why is because we're always connecting those to our REIT. So.
Unemployment, you may already be aware, the preliminary unemployment figure for September was 5.9%, which is down from previous quarters. It will probably be adjusted up. The adjustments for the last two quarters have been about 0.5%, it was 0.75%, so it may go up to about 6.5%, which is kind of what it's been. The average for 2014 year-to-date is about 7.4%, so it's declining, and that average is declining also. Could be. I'm not exactly sure how they factor that in. Well, they do a seasonally adjusted rate, so that's factored in that respect. Like Amazon's hiring 80,000 people for the season to do all their shipping. The same way they factor in the construction season. So it's seasonally adjusted for the construction season is generally from, depending on where you live, May to September, somewhere around in there. So, right. A lot of people. We're all hoping for a good holiday season.
That number, do they have a new way of figuring out that people have dropped off from the workforce or have given up or that are underemployed? Because, that number, that we held people on unemployment for over 2 years and they've all been dropped. So they're not counted unless they have a new way to count them.
I believe the Employment Security Department does factor that in to a certain extent because this is based on the civilian labor force, which changes month to month. So I'm not exactly sure how that's. That's probably one of the factors they take into account, but I don't have the details on that.
I guess I just don't have much faith in the number of unemployment because the numbers have been so radical up and down. The way that we get the information is lacks a lot of desire.
Well, and again, according to Scott Bailey, it's a survey, and it's a top-down calculation. So they calculate the nationwide unemployment first based on a survey of 60,000 households. And so I do think they take that into account, whether people are still looking, or I'm sure it's a question they have. I don't, you know, responses to surveys are subject to a certain margin of error. So.
Don't have, you know, the ability to really get into the detail of how they calculate that. We have to rely on what we get. So some things we just report.
Land use review permits are down year over year. It was 194 at the end of the third quarter in 2013, 182 at the end of this quarter. Slight decline from quarter to quarter. It was 185 in the second quarter. Revenue did increase, though. So, and that probably points to larger projects. Revenue for the quarter was $172,000 compared to $107,000 for the prior quarter.
We don't split it up for our analysis. It's just.
On this slide, what we do is compare county unemployment to the state. And we have three lines because the state unemployment is about 5.4%, which is relatively low, but that's really dragged down by the unemployment rate in King County. So when you remove the Seattle metro area unemployment rate, the state rate goes up to 5.8%, which is very close to the 5.9% that we have here in the county. Those are all preliminary rates.
I guess what's noticeable on this is that the gap is narrowing. You can see we had such a large gap in 2009-2010, and you can see it starting to narrow where now we're on a more even status with the rest of the state, even including the Puget Sound area, which dominates the state statistics. Right. First time in several years, let's put it that way, because if you go back in 5 and 6, we were right on with the rest of the state. So the last 2 years we've been narrowing, and now we're getting closer.
Possibly.
Long race, Commissioner.
So this is the retail sales growth in the major counties, the 8 major counties of the state. And as you can see, for the last couple of quarters, all 8 counties have been doing fairly well. We've been right in near the top in terms of growth. We're the blue bar, which in the latest quarter or the latest year is 9.3% is showing. So we were actually the second highest. The highest county was Snohomish at 10%. But several counties are over 8%, and the average growth is pretty good.
You could have a change in this.
We're going to have to change this because Yakima County is apparently doing very well.
Neck and neck with Whatcom.
So this is sales growth between incorporated areas of the county and unincorporated. And the reddish line is unincorporated areas. And while countywide sales tax growth was 9.3%, you can see that most of the growth lately has been within the incorporated areas. Their growth in the current year end was 10.6%, while unincorporated areas only grew 7.4%, which is relatively close to a statewide growth of about 7.1%. Is that any questions or?
I wanted to go into, at this point, talking about a proposal that we have, and it ties in real well with our sales tax. One of the things that we have been talking with and working with the commissioners over the last 2 years is implementing a fund balance policy for our general fund. A year ago, we had that approved. One of the things that we're trying to tailor this the fund balance policy to is Clark County. So there are standards out there. So what we did a year ago, we implemented a risk-based fund balance policy that took into account different factors, including our cash flow needs and then whatever volatility that we might have in our revenues that we needed to prepare for. Part of this fund balance policy recognizes that in the county, one of our most volatile revenues is sales tax, so that in good economic times, we tend to benefit from an increase in sales tax revenue. What our amendment to the fund balance policy, this proposed amendment would do, it would take a portion of that excess. So when we're in a good economic time, we have the ability to put aside some of that excess into our permanent reserve so that when we have a down cycle, we can then access that. And what this allows us to do is provide a stability in service levels to the citizens. One of the things that, as you're aware, in the last economic downturn, we had to react severely in how we had to cut positions, change how we did our service levels, and it was dramatic. What this proposal would do is allow us to soften that. It would even out the cyclical nature of sales taxes. It wouldn't be 100% equal, but it would help us. And so what I'd like to do is put this staff report forward, have it before the commissioners on an upcoming consent agenda so that you have a chance to look at this and approve that. It doesn't change what our fund balance policy currently is, but it would help amend that. So I have copies of the drafts. I know you've had a chance to review those already. Any questions about that process or what you'd like to see going forward on that? So.
First, my feeling when we had our meeting, it'd be nice to have a reserve. Back up to where we think we need it. We also have reserves set aside for radio projects and things of that nature. So what happens if you continue to have these reserve funds for different parts of our budget? Our budget might look as if we're in a bind and we're in trouble, but in fact we have little pots of money all over and it's harder to track. And I think that when we have a reserve and we pump that reserve up, that that's the purpose of that reserve, to use it when we need it. And I think that we can do that, but to think that your level of service would remain the same, and if we were to go back to another recession, and you don't have a need for that number of employees, it's just expected. I mean, if you don't have the work, you don't keep the people here, if you keep the people on salary. When times are bad and you don't have people buying permits, you don't have a full staff in the permitting office. That's kind of
I appreciate all those comments, Commissioner. I just want to clarify just a couple of things. This doesn't change. It's still within the general fund, so it's still within the general fund reserve. And it doesn't change the way we do things now, the way we do our budgeting. What it does, it allows us to I think, equalize or smooth out the way we budget the money that we have now, the revenues that we have, over a longer period of time. And that's really all it accomplishes. I don't know if I'm explaining it very well, but we can have a conversation if you like.
I guess we go back and make our reserve account more fluid. Is that the intent? So if you have a need, you can use that.
That's what this does primarily.
Actually, we don't have quite enough money in that reserve pocket that we think we'd like to have. The report will come back that we're short. Because we're short, we don't have enough money in that reserve that we should have. We're still trying to get back up to what we think is the ideal day, and that's 60 days of reserve. We're not there yet either. So we're still trying to go back there. So if there's another picture of it, I'm open to see what we're talking about.
Actually, it's not an additional fund. It's within the general fund that we have now. It doesn't create a new reserve fund. So it's a amount designated within the fund that we have now. Exactly. That's exactly right. What we do now is we report fund balance availability in different segments. An unassigned portion, which is what we typically talk about, because that's what's available for whatever needs that the county has. And then if we assign a certain amount, or we indicate that that's going to be for a specific project, what this would be, it would be assigned specifically for stabilization or economic stabilization. So it would be a piece of that one and would be reported with the rest of the fund. I think that's a good analogy. Commissioner? In your analogy, they use storage devices as they store it for later use because they don't have the generating capacity. That's exactly right. Absolutely. But exactly. That's exactly right.
So I'd be putting money into this stabilization portion of my reserve account, even though my reserve account isn't up to the desire to have it.
Well, there is a scenario where that could be a possibility. Currently, we're at our anticipated levels, and it would only happen when we have excess capacity in good economic times. So there are conditions around it within the policy itself that allows us to do this, and then there's conditions that allow us to access it as well. So,
Andrew, time is when you put money in there, so we'll have to have a definition of a good time.
Yes, and it's in the policy itself. It's
recognized that when we're not going to have another good time than what we did have in the past. That
hopefully we
likelihood
will.
Of that
That's
happening
our plan. Yeah.
Is pretty small, and everybody has admitted to that before. We were in Fat City, we were putting money around.
Oh, you're talking about way back. Yeah. Well, hopefully we return
before
to that.
Before our recession. That's right. Yeah. We're not going to get there for many, many years. And so I'm not quite sure the spikes that Commissioner Barnes talked about have really got nothing to do with the spike. What we're talking about is the payroll period. And that line that we have is our budget. And that budget is established at a yearly or biannual basis. And we know what that's going to be in every department. So I'm not quite sure what's going to spike that up and spike it down, or unless if we just have extra money, we're just going to increase our budget in every department.
And the policy is, as you get a chance to read through it, it folds right into our budgeting practices. It takes into consideration all of those elements that help us, again, stabilize our finances over a long term. And so
we'll have triggers that tell us how much and when to put in.
Definitely.
And we'll have a definition of when we have to take it out. And I thought that's what we do right now with our reserves.
This would have specific conditions. We do that, absolutely. That's how we manage our finances. For example, in the last biennial budget, we budgeted to use parts of that unassigned fund balance, and we're actually going to talk about that in just a minute. But this has specific conditions that we would be able to set aside and use it as well. Volatile, we call it. Well, and that's exactly why we're having this conversation now. Because when it's not healthy, it's not the time to have a conversation. Okay, moving on to general fund, and this was a good lead into this slide. So this is where we're at with our general fund. Just a couple of comments real quickly. In 2014, we've experienced minimal growth in both revenues and expenses. We're on pace right now to use approximately $3 to $4 million in our unassigned fund balance. If you look at our use of unassigned fund balance from the beginning of the year, we had budgeted about $6.7 million. However, because of our savings that we've had with the reality of the different departments, we're only going to spend between $3 and $4 million. Now,
$4 million you speak of here, those are funds that we allotted or put under the budgets of different departments that wasn't needed. Isn't that where that came from? That's what we did to balance our budget?
No. Sorry.
I'll wait and see it later.
Go ahead, Bob. I'll let you jump in.
Yeah.
Essentially, we use fund balance every time our expenses exceed our revenues. And that was the case when we adopted the 13-14 budget. We adopted more expense than we had revenues. So, in essence, you dip into your savings account for $3 or $4, or in this case, $6.7 million, to balance the budget. It's what we're talking about here is when we do get extra, when the budget office projects that we're going to get 5% sales tax, and in fact we collect 7, then this policy would move that 2% into the permanent reserve, and we would live off the 5 that we had projected, assuming there are no other counterbalancing drops in other revenues. So what this is really is a commitment that you're not going to spend all of the new money that comes in. You're going to save a little bit of it. We use fund balance, as I said, when expenses exceed revenues. Now, in the 15-16 budget, for the first time in a long time, you're going to see a budget that's balanced, that not exceed revenue, and we talked during your retreat how we managed to accomplish that. So the hope being that in the 17-18 budget, the turnback that we're talking about here, the unspent budget, will in fact be able to be used for one-time purchases in the 17-18 budget, and we will finally get on that even keel where we're not relying on fund balance every cycle. This piece, we already have a volatility factor in the fund balance policy that the finance team brought to you and we've adopted. The 52 days include some volatility for sales tax. Now we're stepping it up maybe to going to ultra-volatility issues. There's no way we're ever going to have the reserves to cover a catastrophe like 2008. That was $62 million. That was 3 times our fund balance. So this is not some big giant savings account waiting for the next big crush. This is simply saying our permanent reserve has been kind of stagnant around $6 million. Permanent reserve is that piece of general fund balance that Mark's referring to. We want that piece to improve a little over time, and this is a way to do it without diverting from any other part of the budget. So essentially, like I said, when times are good, you're committing to save a little bit, not all, but a little bit of the good times towards the next round of bad times.
And with being frugal in our budget.
Well, I mean, absolutely does.
It kind of gives me a feeling of false security. So I put a little bit more money off to the side. And we do that now in the general fund. When something comes up, we have money in the general fund. That's where we get it from, or we take it from the reserve, depending upon the criteria. So if I have another little bit of money over here, and something comes up, instead of to scrutinize the need or the criteria for that expenditure, I'll just say, well, I've got that money here, we'll just do it.
Historically, we've never touched the permanent reserve. Occasionally, we make loans from it.
That's how we got down to 37 days, isn't it?
Well, that's not the permanent reserve piece. That was just the unassigned general fund balance, not including the general reserve.
Yeah.
Mark will explain to you how the two combined equals the 52 days.
And just real quickly, we kind of step back a little bit. What I'm trying to explain in this particular slide is we budgeted to use fund balance within our budget to balance our revenues and expenditures. We, as Bob said, budgeted to dip into that savings account. When I come and report to you, I'm trying to report to you what we've actually done now. So we budget, it's an exercise, and then we try and measure against that. So here I'm trying to explain that we had budgeted the use of fund balance at $6.7 million for our ongoing operation. However, we won't need all of that. We won't be spending all of that fund balance. We're only going to spend $3 to $4 million. So that's kind of the plan and how we've actually performed against that plan.
That's what we've been doing, right?
That's, yes. I think the answer to your question is yes. Yes. I want to show you how we're measuring up against our plan. All right?
So when the amount came up, the $3 to $4 million, that was about the same number that we used to do the balanced budget going into 15. That was the other money that we gave the other departments that was not necessary, that they did not use.
And
that was about the same amount.
And the 15, that's true, but it's coincidental. The 15, 16 is a separate exercise.
That's when I jumped on.
Okay.
What we did to balance in 15-16, if you recall, is we looked at all the funds that receive a general fund subsidy. And those funds that were healthy enough to make it through 15-16 without all or a portion of that subsidy, we reduced the subsidy. So we reduced expenses to match revenues this time rather than increasing revenues to match expenses. Certainly, at least since 2007, the adoption of the 07-08 budget, which the adoption was balanced, but of course we know in 2007, 2008, everything tanked. So, right. That's the goal, is we've achieved 52 days, which is our goal, and the goal is the 15-16 budget will not draw from that at all. We'll stay at 52 days.
So, in the next slide, we're using all my time right here. In the next slide, this is where we're forecasting our unassigned, and again, the unassigned fund balance to be. Now, you'll notice it's only $1 million decrease from 25.3 to 24.3. And I just told you that we were going to use between 3 and 4 million in fund balance. So you're thinking in your head, our finance director has no idea how to do math, correct? Okay, and this is where I have to explain something. We have to, in fact, we did last year at the end of 2013. We had to make a technical correction because of accounting guidance that added to our fund balance. It didn't add to our, it didn't give us any more cash. It was just a technical adjustment in our account. So that accounted for the difference between the projected usage of fund balance and where we're going to end up at the end of the year. So, and if you would like the detail on that technical adjustment, I'm more than happy to explain it to you. But let's just say I can do the math, and this it just it is a little bit different presentation. It does show, however, if you look at our 2013. Fund balance target at 22.5 million. Bob always talks about it in terms of days. I look at it in terms of dollars a little bit. We will be able to achieve our fund balance target for the year. Now, without that technical adjustment, we would have been very close, but we still would be in the same ballpark. So what we've used in fund balance this year to balance our budget, the $3 to $4 million, we had available, as you can see, last year at the end of 2013, we were above our target. So we've been able to use that appropriately, I might add, to get us to where we're at today. And then, as Bob mentioned, and as you've had meetings with the finance team, our objective is going forward to always have that balance. So we don't have to balance our budget with the use of fund balance. Okay? Well, there are a lot of things that we need this for. One of them is just so we can pay our bills every day. And right now, I might add that right before our property tax collections is when we need it the most, because that's when our reserves are the lowest. We got yours yesterday. Thank you, Commissioner. And you'll be getting mine soon as well.
That was that last spike we had.
Yeah. But this helps us maintain consistent operations throughout the year, as well as prepare for certain things that we have that we see out there. So, okay, let's look at our other major funds real quick. We're just going to spend it. We're running out of time, so just spend briefly some time talking about Department of Community Development. we've had, again, some mixed information, as Tom said. We've had some increases in permits, increase in valuation on the residential side. We've, on the commercial side, we've had small increases as well. However, our valuations have been down. So, you know, there's always some variability in there. With the road fund, we have an aggressive schedule to complete a lot of projects. We're getting there. You know, I'm not going to speak for Heath, but I know that every time I talk to him, he's got everything scheduled out, you know, 6 years. So with the health department, the health department, I always want to plug them because they do a lot with what they have. And, you know, they keep bumping along. They never seem to, you know, I they might flinch a little bit once in a while, kind of like when I got my flu shot the other day, but that was me flinching. But they are doing, you know, what they have to do. In the terms of community development, I want to talk about a new model that has come, that has been created to help us manage, particularly the building activity within community development. If we can go to the next model. This model, I'm really happy to see this, and I think Marty is as well. What this model shows is the commitments that we have against what funding we have available in our building activity. There's four lines in this model. There's a revenue and expense line, and those kind of bump along right along the middle there, the red and the green lines. And then there's a fund balance line, which is the blue. And then there's the yellow line at the bottom, which is, this is a very familiar term because we talk about this with the general fund a lot. It's called the uncommitted fund balance, or what part of that fund balance is available for use. And you can see, going backwards, this starts in 2008 and goes forward to 2011, that we had made commitments with that fund balance. Although the fund balance, it does dip negative, which is always a concern. But we had commitments that far exceeded this fund's ability to manage. And I'm going to roll this forward in a second. So what this does, we didn't have this at the time. And I believe if we had had a model like this at the time, we would have been able to react more quickly when we got into a situation that we needed it. We would have been able to use this as an indicator with those commitments to say, we're trending the wrong direction, or we've now overextended ourselves in this particular building activity. So I'm going to roll this forward now to the next 3 years, which will take us to the current date. And you can see with the restoration of that fund balance, the blue line at the top, that we, over from 2012 to 2013, towards the end of the 13 there, we've restored that fund balance. And since that time, we've been able to maintain it. You see, we have a very consistent fund balance line after 2013. Now I want you to look back down below at that yellow line, and you see that's the uncommitted portion. And you'll see a couple of things jumping around in there. First of all, we used some of that fund balance to pay for our permit center, and that dropped us down for a while. And then at the beginning of 2013, we committed additional funds to pay for the Tidemark replacement project, and you'll see it drop back down, and then it kind of rebuilds a little bit. And since that time, it's been maintaining, you know, fairly consistent. But again, what I want to bring out is that we now have this model as a tool, and we can, I don't know what I'm doing tonight. I'm just talking. What we do have now is a model that will tell us, we can look at the trend lines, we can look at the uncommitted portion of this fund and say, do we need to make changes in how this business is operating? And so I'm real happy to have something like this. And I know Marty walked in. I don't know if Marty has any comments, but
so these two charts, are these the charts that we're using for scaling, giving us a heads up as to what we're doing with our permit holiday?
No, this doesn't speak to that. What this speaks to is, what do we have available in this fund to use against the commitments that we've made.
Kind of what we're talking about, because we look to see if we have to shore them up from the general fund, that if there's a negative effect created by the fee holidays.
Correct.
That this chart shows that we don't have to do that so far, because we're building that balance and it's sustaining itself.
That's correct. As long as we have, and you know, as everyone's aware, the fee revenue from the single family housing, you know, those housing permits have come in and been able to sustain this fund, we are in a positive position. And as long as that you know, trend continues, we should, you know, I don't have any reason to believe that we should have a problem. However, if you remember at the beginning of our presentation, we talked about building permits for single-family residents. We break that out, so we have, those are the indicators. That's why those are indicators, and now you're getting a bit of the results. So we tie those together and say, we watch the indicators, and we put them into a model, and it gives us enough information to hopefully make a good decision. Commissioner? This includes all building activity. So building activity includes single-family residents and commercial, Marty. Everything that's building related. So this is everything that's building related. So it includes all those things. Right. If we were to include the commissioner, like the waived fees, yeah, you would have a different line. That's correct. This is actual data. In my world, I deal with actual. So we've actually received this revenue in, and we're actually at this level of fund balance. So if we make other assumptions, then we would have different lines, obviously. Yes. No, in this fund. Yeah. It's all part of this fund.
They go back to the road construction.
Traffic impact fees are a different fund, that's correct. This, we're talking just commercial building. Yes. If you look right at January 13, see the January 13 dip in the yellow line? That's because we committed at that point that money to that project.
Commissioner, I think the point you're trying to make here is that the big hits to his fund have already been accounted for. Permit center remodel,
right.
Tide mark replacement. So you're not going to see any more of those significant dips.
That we know of. And the reason there's a timing for this, within the government, the county, before we go out to RFP, we have to know that the funds are available for us to do that project. And if we don't have the funds available and we go out to RFP, we could be in trouble with whoever wins that RFP. So that's why you see the commitment made back in January 13th, because that's when we started going out and receiving bids for this project. And that's typical throughout how we do things. We don't want to have someone come in and bid on a project if we're not going to go through with the project. A lot longer than 2013. Contract. Correct. Commissioner? We would hope not. So. Okay, so again, going back to this model, this is a model that we can maintain monthly. We can continue to look at those indicators and use that information, look at the trends on this, and I think it's a really good opportunity to use this as a forecasting tool. If we, you know, do experience a downturn, we have a time period to deal with that with our own staffing. There's a lot of upside of having a model like this. I know. And the only reason it's broken into two is because it's really big and it gets really small on this. So I just put them in two for presentation purposes only. Yeah. So if you go forward one. So again, the emphasis is looking at the yellow line because that's what we have available. Right now, if you look at that fund balance, the uncommitted fund balance, we're at about $1 million. As we see that go up or down, you know, it tells us what action we need to take going forward. Okay, we're just about there. Right, and a lot of that had to do with you're coming right out of the recession. And no one planned for it. We didn't see it coming. It was very sudden, and, you know, our reaction time was slow. Just real quickly, and just to wrap that last segment up, Marty and I and, you know, other people on the finance team, we've looked at implementing fund balance policies for other funds outside the general fund. We haven't got there yet, but there are discussions on this. So I would anticipate that in the future, you know, it could be in the next year or so, we'll be able to come forward to you with fund balance policies on other funds outside the general fund. And I know that's a goal of Marty. It's a goal of, you know, the finance team to have guidance on how we manage those funds as well. And I'm going to go through this real quickly. Most of this is just review of where we're at. However, I have to always give a plug. We're looking at our event center fund. You've had a report about the 10-day fair. The last couple of years, we've been able to operate at a profit. The fund is receiving some subsidy from the general fund. You know, in working with the fund manager, he's hoping that going forward we can, you know, reduce or eliminate that subsidy. But for the first time in quite a while, we should be able to break even by the end of this year. In addition, there's a couple of items that I want you to be aware of, particularly with the Clean Water Fund. We're continuing to monitor that to make sure that, because that is an enterprise fund, the revenue needs to pay for the expenses within that fund. They appear to be on track right now. We haven't had to go to line of credit. We'll wait to see how the property tax comes in, and at the end of the year, hopefully, we can give you a good report that they're even for the year, because that's where our goal is. On the central support services, that this is an issue that we will need to deal with. I know we're looking at dealing with that in the immediate budget cycle, but we do have a deficit there, and we're doing some work to try and figure out what's creating that deficit. Central support services or facilities maintains a lot of things for the county, and we need to make sure that they're adequately funded. They've been carrying a fund balance. When we go at the end of the year and have our audit with the state auditors, they don't like to see funds with a negative fund balance, particularly for multiple years. And we'll need to have a plan in place by the end of this year that will help eliminate this fund balance. And we're working on that. Okay? A couple of other obligations, I've talked to the commissioners about this, that we aren't necessarily fund-related, but are looming out there and will be coming to you soon, particularly the radio replacement project, which is part of the CRESA radio replacement. We're a piece of the CRESA network. They are getting very close in the contract language of signing their contract, which will allow us to replace the infrastructure countywide, upgrade it from analog to digital, which you think at this point in stage we'd already be there, but we're not. It will allow us to do that. The commitment the county will have to make is we do have to replace some of our equipment for our sheriff's office to be compatible with that system. And that'll be coming to you shortly, and we've had some conversations about that. There are a couple other major projects that we weren't able to fit into our budget yet, which are right on the top of the list, one of those being our phone replacement. I know Mark has probably talked to you about that already. And then we have some major facilities, maintenance projects as well. And that's a longer-term project that we're looking at being able to put together, present from the finance team. There's a plan to make sure we're not only maintaining our current facilities, complying with our own policies in our county, but planning for the future of what facilities needs there are. So the majority of the funding of these will come from the general fund. The radio replacement, particularly the phone replacement, would be shared countywide, and then depending on the facility, it would impact which fund we would get that money from. We don't have them in there yet. We'll be giving you a plan, and we will be meeting as a finance team and come bringing proposals forward of how to address these issues. So these are things that are on the horizon. Some are closer than we would like at this point, but you'll be getting options of how we can deal with these coming from that finance team. But no, these are not going to be part of the current budget process. Okay, the recommendations for these will be outside of that budget process.
Strategy, Commissioner, would be as we enter 2015, the finance team will come together, and we will develop options to meet these requirements without impacting the general fund fund balance. And we'll keep an eye on revenues. We'll know then what our actual fund balance is at the end of the year. The turn back may be greater potentially than we anticipate. And so rather than put them in the budget and not knowing our strategy for funding them, I think would not be a good thing.
And some of the amounts on these are either so recently developed or not quite developed that we don't know those numbers yet. For the radio replacement, 2 weeks ago I couldn't have given you a number, because it's moving that quickly. And by the end of this month, we'll have the contract signed and we'll have the exact amount. We're already exploring options, and we have to have those discussions and all that information be brought in. If we had, as Commissioner Melky fears, had a major maintenance reserve fund somewhere, which we don't, that we could just pull money out of and do these things, then we'd be able to come to you and you could approve the budget spending for those things. But since we don't, we have to manage it a little bit differently. So that's what we're proposing. Okay, summary page. Do you want to go through this real quickly with them, Tom, and then we'll...
Basically, like we went through, the leading indicators are still a little inconsistent. They're somewhat steady, but they're doing okay. We have some volatile revenues, as we discussed previously. The increased revenues in those areas do not offset lagging revenues in some other areas. Recording is way down, for instance. We discussed the sales tax amendment to propose to smooth volatile receipts. We already talked about using how much we project we're going to use out of unassigned fund balance in the general fund, and the fact that the general fund ending fund balance will likely meet our fund balance policy. We're going to have to continue to evaluate the general fund's ability to pay for those capital projects that Mark was just talking about.
Volume. It's all volume based.
Yeah.
The volume's down significantly. There's so many factors involved in recording fees, number of pages, the types of documents that you're recording. Each of them have a different fee. A lot of it is based on real estate activity. We experienced, a couple years ago, a refinancing of homes that was very high. That's gone away. So we can go into the... Well, when interest rates go down and people have the ability to refinance, they tend to do it, just like the county. We refinance a lot. And so we don't see that activity anymore. One of the areas that we see a lot of change in is the motor vehicle registrations. Back in recessionary times, people wouldn't register their third car or their boat or things like that. So it fluctuates. And right now, because of the current level activity, the volumes are down, I think, about 30%, and it's a very volume-driven activity. And that's one of the graphs in the back of the quarterly report that you'll see, the recording volume. So, and you're going to get it right now. So.
Complex as usual.
Fisher? it's a road fund grant, is that what you're specifically asking? Most of the time, grant revenue, if it's in the general fund, it's anticipated, and we usually don't, unless we know what it is, we won't put it into the general fund. When they do their forecasting, for example, in the six-year TIP, they anticipate what they believe they'll be able to receive based on their historical data. Well, they have a pretty good track record. They pretty much know, you know, what grants are available and what grants they'll be able to receive. And so that gets built into the plan. Now, I'm not quite sure on the question. Within what we report in the general fund, we do report grant revenues. If we've received grant revenues, for example, the sheriff, he's in the general fund, we would report those grant revenues in the general fund. Not at that level of detail. If you want that level of detail, I have it. And, you know, it's involved in a different book. But this is a much more higher level view.
All right, very much.